Howdy. Stu Smith here. How are you? Going live. And I hope you're doing well this Monday morning. Today was our PST day, which I want to say, if you're not assessing yourself regularly, it could be monthly is fine. You're just guessing. And it shows us where we need to focus these next few weeks to improve on any of those weaknesses. I mean, that is common sense. So if you're going to apply some common sense to training, assessing yourself makes a lot of sense, because now my guys know, yeah, we need to work more on your pace for running. You started off way too fast on your sit-ups. Let's work on that. Let's try to maintain 25 sit-ups every 30 seconds so you can get 100 this next time instead of 82. Pull-ups, they're weak. Let's work on pull-ups. You know, most of my guys, I think the lowest we had was 18. So that was pretty good, actually. Fastest swim today was in the sevens, like 7:50, I think, 7:45. So not bad. I don't think anybody got over 9 minutes today, which is really good, especially for the group of non-swimming athletes. But yeah, and then the runs were all solid. Most of them sub 9, all of them under 9:30, which can't beat that. So something's working, and I would say just a few tweaks here and there with the individuals will get everybody well above average scores on what they need to do. So yes, it's annoying to not do well in sit-ups, but you know, to be honest with you, you really need to practice some sit-ups and practice your pacing in sit-ups. That's really the key. I saw a couple guys kind of new. They'd been here for a few weeks. No, not even a few weeks, few days from last week. And this was their first PST. And they just started off like crazy right out of the gate. I think they hit like 20, no, they hit 35 and 30 seconds, which I was like, all right, I just let them go. Didn't give them any feedback because they weren't listening when I said, pace yourself. And if you were trying to pace yourself with 35 and 30 seconds, that means you're on a pace of what, 140 in 2 minutes, which I've seen people do, but it's not very common. So one per second would give you a 120, which is way above average. But what I try to do is get everybody down to 25 every 30 seconds. And even if you're in that 20 to 25 range, that's fine. That's going to put you in the 80 to 100 range every time. And if you can squeeze a couple in the 90s, that's great. Really above average. And that'll get you in the door anytime. And you'll be doing a lot of grinder PTs. So these push-ups, your pull-ups, your dips, your sit-ups, your flutter kicks, all those exercises will come in handy to be good at doing in your future training, whether that's along the pool deck or it's on the grinder, or whether it's the beach PT or the concrete PT, doesn't really matter. You just need to be good at high repetition calisthenics. But the next part of our assessment week, we'll actually assess some legs and let's see where their leg and spine strength is with a deadlift and a squat. Maybe do some overhead weighted holds, see how long they can hold that. As you guys recall, the last live we did was that new simulated log PT with 1 minute holds over your head with a 40 pound sandbag and then a 1 minute chest carry with a sandbag. And you should do that for 15, 20 minutes if you can. That's a really good assessment to see where your muscle stamina is. And then the lifting's obviously just a durability issue. You don't have to be super strong, but you want to be able to do you know, 1.5 times your body weight, 5 reps, you know, for a deadlift and a squat. I mean, if you even hit 2.0 times your body weight, that's really good too. We are somewhere in between that 1.5 and 2.0 your body weight, just for standard durability. So, you know, 200-pound guy being able to do 350, 400, it's not out of the question. You just need to have some history of strength training just to be a little more durable. And then, you know, we do this in the middle of our run cycle where we're really starting to ramp up our running as well. So trying to build up to 30, 35, 40 even miles a week during this cycle. And we'll peak probably in August and then work it back down over the fall and get back into our lift cycle in the winter. So that's typically how we'll go through the year with our training. We just happen to assess things throughout the year, one, that we're working on, and two, that we're also trying to maintain. So right now we're working on calisthenics and cardio and running progression, swimming too. And we're trying to maintain some strength. So last week we did a strength week just to kind of a deload it. And then this for day one of this week, we did a PST just to see where everybody's calisthenics and cardio were. So like I said, with the title, if you're not assessing, you are just guessing. And you don't want to do that because you need to know where your strengths and weaknesses are. Otherwise, you're going to leave a weakness undeveloped, and that will be exposed near immediately when you're going through selection. Joe says, how likely are age waivers for 28-plus-year-old candidates these days? Your PST scores should be top-notch. If you wanted to guarantee age waiver, what should they look like? Yeah, they should be top-notch. But everybody's PST score should be top-notch. But you should be able to meet, like, all those scores I just said. You know, 8-minute swim, 9-minute run, you know, 80 to 100 push-ups and sit-ups, and 20 pull-ups. You know, that's kind of like the above-average standard. Tied to the above, if someone did not age out for NSW, what route would you recommend most after becoming a SEAL? I'm not sure what you're asking there. Age out for NSW. You mean like you didn't get an age waiver? What route would you do? Would you recommend most after becoming a SEAL? I don't know what you're saying. Because if you don't get an age waiver, my recommendation is go Air Force or Army SF because they like older people in their pipeline. I'm assuming that's what you're asking. Final question. If one truly wanted to become exceptional in the water, how many yards, hours in the pool should they be averaging on a weekly basis and for how long? Well, it depends on your definition of exceptional. Like for an Olympian athlete, exceptional is night and day compared to what you need to be for a spec ops athlete. So my recommendation would be swim with fins on leg days. 2,000 to 3,000 yards on leg days, so twice a week, swim with fins. And then your upper body days, swim 2,000 a day. So that'd give you probably 10,000 yards a week, I would say, maybe 12, if you wanted to add in a sixth swim of the week. That's where I would be. That's plenty to train for spec war. But you also don't want to do them slow either. You know, you want your yard per second pace to be done with fins and without fins as close as you can. So a 500 yard swim in 500 seconds is a 8:20. A 1,000 yard swim with fins in 1,000 seconds is a 16:40. So just do the math. You can build all the way up to 2,000 at 35 minutes, and you can go, you know, between 30 and 35 minutes, and a 4,000 in between 65 and 70 minutes. I wouldn't go much slower than 70 minutes on a 4,000, just because you're going to be doing 4,000 yard swims every week at Buds with fins in the open water, and you may not swim straight. You'll be fighting some tides and currents, so you might have issues with timing that. And your minimum standard for passing in first phase is 85 minutes. It's 80 minutes in second phase, and it's 75 minutes in third phase. So I try to get everybody between 65 and 70 before they go. Good morning, 62290. I cut out flour and sugar, except for what's in fruits. Even though I'm eating plenty, I'm losing a pound every day for the past week. Any concerns with that speed? No, not really. If you have weight to lose, you will lose it abnormally fast. Like, I'm right at like 210, 215 right now. For me to lose a pound or two a week is remarkable. That's just the way it is for those final pounds, because I'm trying to get under 200. So, but if I had 70 pounds to lose, it really is easy to drop some weight. If you have it to lose, it comes off fast, as long as you're, you know, caloric deficit and working out at the end of the day, each day. So, yeah, nothing to worry about. It's going to get harder as you start losing weight and getting closer to your goal. What's up, Michael? Hope you're doing well. What do you think about replacing fast freestyle in the 50-50 with head up freestyle or butterfly? I don't know. I've never done it that way. But you can try it. I mean, butterfly sucks. If you know butterfly and you want to put out and get winded, that is definitely one way to do it. And that's really what I'm using the 50-50 freestyle for, is just put out, get winded, skip breathe, and then go into your CSS set of 50 CSS, trying to catch your breath during that goal pace swimming. Is there any way to be able to train with you in person, like the people you mentioned? Yes. These people come to train with me. I train 6 days a week, 6 a.m. Monday through Friday until 8 a.m. and then 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturdays. And they're free training. However, you have to be preparing for something, or active duty or former service. Like, I don't do it just for anybody who wants to go work out. In fact, I will recommend them not to come back if I start finding out they're not trying to serve. So I just don't have room for people who, you know, just want to get in shape. I will make room for people who want to serve. And you can't argue with the price. Free training. So there you go. Tomorrow will be week four on the winter lift cycle for me. For the PT pyramid, how much rest time do you take between each set? Well, if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. I prefer not to rest at all during those PT sets. So you do your pull-ups, you go right into your push-ups, you roll over, you got your sit-ups. Sometimes I put dips in there, add some dips or bicep overheads. Boom, 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 boom. No rest. Now, I often put in a run or a bike or some kind of cardio in between each set. That is your rest. So rest with some form of cardio. And it doesn't have to be hard. You can actually just go for a jog, try to catch your breath, come back. You know, your muscles will be ready for the next set. But I know this isn't a personalized training program. So if I was personalizing it for someone and someone came to me and they couldn't handle that, I would say, you know what, walk for 2 minutes and then come back and do the next set, or 1 minute, depending on, you know, how that looked on their recovery. You just go up as high as you can, then come back down. So that's how we do the pyramids. They're meant to be constant movement. I tried your recipe, peanut butter with milk. That's amazing. Better than ice cream. Oh, yeah. Especially if you want to lose gain weight. Sorry. I cannot eat peanut butter right now just because I'm not in that mode of trying to gain weight. I'm trying to lose weight and get under 200 pounds this summer. Just makes running so much easier, especially on these older joints. Do you think basic training boot camp can decondition you if you're already in pretty good shape? Absolutely. Man, what rock have you been living under? I say that all the time. You need to go to, now, it depends. If you're going to Marine Corps boot camp, you're going to work your ass off, and you're probably going to come out there in a little bit better shape than you were. Army, probably. Air Force and Navy, absolutely not. You will decondition yourself if you're going in really good shape. I have a guy there right now, and he said he has run about 2 miles a week, and he's been there for 7 weeks. So you do the math on that. And he's squeezing in as much calisthenics as he can during the day. Morning's due with the 50-50 after the total 100 yards. When you say minimum rest, how long should you rest? Long enough to go all out on the next set? Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be fully recovered, but you should be able to breathe without... All right, so just, you know, when you've almost caught your breath, go, right? And you're going to find that as you do this more often, you'll touch that wall after that second 50. Take a big deep breath. Boom, you're on your way. That's your rest. So minimum rest is relative. Some people's minimum rest may be a full minute or 15 seconds. Some people's minimum rest may be a breath. So there's not a standard time. My advice would be try to get your heart rate down to like a zone 2 level. You know, maybe you're probably at like, you know, under 120, something like that. So however long that takes you. Hey Stu, is there any book you recommend to put in between Navy PST workout phase 1 and phase 2, or should I go straight into phase 2? Yeah, you know, I would, here's the thing. I would go from phase 1 to phase 2 just because if you're crushing the PST, it's time to start focusing on other events, like the 4 mile run and the 2 mile swim. You're going to be flirting with some of those during the PST workout and that little, human performance test section that they have in there now. Like there's that 4 week lift cycle that's in the back of this. So this is a 16 week workout now versus 12. And it used to be 6, but over the years I have updated it, you know, every couple of years. And now it's really good right now. I would say this one's here to stay unless there's some changes at Bud's. For the time being, this is a really good one. So this will get you ready for the PST and start flirting with the other events that you're going to have to be doing. But then phase 2 is going to really hammer down, focusing on getting through the training. Phase 2 and 3 will. But here's the big but. The big but is if you need to, let's say you're an endurance athlete, and you did really well crushing these PST, you may want to throw in a lift cycle, maybe a winter lift cycle for 12 weeks, then do phase 2 and 3. If you are weak, so my advice would be do the assessment. In fact, I'll put this article in here. If you haven't seen this one already, this is my list of events that people who have successfully gone through all selections, whether that's Marine Corps, Recon, MARSOC, Ranger, SF, BUDS, EOD, whatever, these were an average of those scores. Let's see. Is there anything you should be aiming for regarding SOAS beyond the typical 9-minute swim, 100, 129? I would be under 9 on both the run and the swim. I mean, there's going to be a mile swim with fins, and you're going to have a ruck that's probably like 8-9 miles, and it's a pretty fast-paced ruck, so you need to prepare for rucking on soft sand or hills. Just get your legs strong. Yeah, and treading. Get good at treading. Did he say, you talk about me? Yes, I did say swim more than 1,000 on leg day. I did a 1,000-yard test, should be at 1640 with fins. In that range, 1640 to 17 is great. So you misheard. So you can go back and listen to that again. Or between 2,000 and 3,000 yards on leg day is what I said. And we typically do leg days 2, sometimes 3 days a week. So you can get anywhere between 4 to 8,000 yards of swimming with fins. Now remember, when you're at BUDS, you will only swim with fins 4,000 yards a week. Right? There's no need to be swimming 20,000 yards a week prior to BUDS. That'd be like going to BUDS and running 100 miles a week. Why would you do that before going to BUDS? Right? That's too much running. It's too much time devoted just on swimming or running or doing something else when you should be focusing on other activities to be more durable under the boats and logs, because that's what's probably going to crush you. Treading water, that's a big failure test. There's a lot out there. But the most things that crush you are boats and logs. That tends to make, and cold water, that tends to make people either injured or not want to be a part of the program anymore. Finally got off the treadmill and hit the road. Huge difference. Turns out takes me 26 minutes to run a 4K, 2.5 miles. Any tips? Yeah, just start working on your pace. You know, my advice, if you want to run that faster, start hitting your 400s and your 800s at the next goal pace you want. So let's say you want to run 1,600 meters. Okay, that happens to be our mile. So 1,600 meters, 4 laps around a track. You want to do that in 8 minutes, right? That's an 8-minute mile here. It's an 8-minute 1600 there. But that also is a 2-minute 400. It's a 4-minute 800. That would be my advice, is start there. Start working on that multiple sets of 200s, 800s, and 1600s, and progress yourself up by learning how to run that fast, by actually running that fast. What's the best nutrition before to eat the PST? The one that works for you. So my advice is assess yourself regularly, taking a PST, and figure out what works best for you. Because what works best for me may not work best for you. What works best for me is a banana and sipping on some Gatorade while I'm taking the test. Sometimes I'll do apple juice. Both of those work pretty well for me personally, but they may not be digestively appropriate for you. So think about nutrition as part of your energy to train, but also your next day recovery. It's a very important part of your recovery too. So I just put an article in here that might help you. Look in the comment section here. I think it went through. I don't see it. Here, I just did it again. Yeah, there it goes. So you can see the comment section. I just put in a nutrition article that lists some foods that might be helpful for you. But my advice, test out, you know, test regularly and test what you think works. One thing I recommend not doing before any PST is adding in caffeine. Caffeine's going to blow you up. If you're doing pre-workout before a PST and wondering why it feels like you're having a heart attack when you're swimming and running, that's why. Don't do that. There have actually been people who die taking fitness tests and overloading on caffeine before they did it, thinking it was going to be helpful for them. But it really just put them in an anaerobic zone in their heart rate way ahead of schedule. So they were running slower, but at anaerobic heart rates. So not good. You know, you try to keep pushing that and you get into max heart rate. Next thing you know, your heart stops. And that's what happened to teenagers on too much caffeine before doing a fitness test. You can Google it. I'm not making this stuff up. It happened right here at the Naval Academy. Let us know when you get under 200. I'm 208 trying to do the same. I know I have a way more fat. Yeah, you know, I will let you know that because it's something I like to put out there and just kind of hold myself accountable to other people as well. In fact, I have a buddy of mine. We're doing the same thing. And every Friday, we weigh in over at the community center just to make sure we're on track. So we're holding each other accountable, you know, every week on that. And that's a good way to do it. You know, have a buddy that's going to watch you weigh in and yell at you when you're not doing it, right? And that's our thing. Yeah, we're just like, ah. So I was under 210, and then I don't know what it was. I don't know if I ate too much or if I was retaining a lot of water, but I was like 215 the last one, so I gained 10 pounds or 5 pounds, which makes no sense. But then the next time I weighed, I was under 210 again. Sometimes I'm all over the place. Could be just I like to hydrate. You guys see me drinking water all the time. I'm probably a little bit overhydrated sometimes. And, you know, you drink a gallon of water in a day, you know, that's 8 pounds. Granted, you're peeing a lot of it out quickly, but, you know, it can be a water weight issue too. So I've been weighing myself first thing in the morning, right after I get up and use the bathroom before I've done anything. And that usually is my lightest. However, I will go work out for a couple hours, come back, and now it's like hot and humid. So I actually lose 4 more pounds, 5 more pounds sometimes. But I know that's just water weight because I just sweat my ass off. But that tells me I need to hydrate. So I hydrate. And get some electrolytes. When you lose that much water, you also need some salts, which probably is a culprit to me retaining water. So it all's a big mess. But you know, in the end, I just have to eat less and work out the way I always do. It's not a workout issue for me. It's me just not having seconds of really good food. I mean, I eat salads and fish on top of it, and sometimes I'll get a second helping of fish or chicken, or I see steak left over on my kid's table, you know, on my kid's plate. I'll grab that, eat that, you know, instead of just saving it for another day. It's real easy to gain some calories just by, you know, catfishing everybody's food at the end of a meal, which is one of those habits I have recognized is putting me not in a calorie deficit. So just like that spoonful of peanut butter, I realized I was not getting in deficit, calorie deficit every day because of that spoonful of peanut butter. When I set that aside, I started losing weight again. So That's why writing down everything that you eat is really important. So make a food diary. I keep a clipboard in my kitchen. So when I walk past the refrigerator, the snack drawer, the cupboards, and I'm about to look for something to eat, I know I have to go write it down. And it just puts that little like thought process of like, are you hungry? And then I realize I'm not really hungry. Why do I want to eat? And then you just drink some water and, you know, you're good to go. Maybe have a 2 grapes or something like that. Or a couple almonds instead of a, you know, piece of steak or something worse, like a, you know, thing of chocolate or something. Let's see. Have taught someone who didn't know how to swim straight into CSS. Julian, I have no idea what that means. I'm assuming you're asking me a question, but have I taught someone who didn't know how to swim straight into CSS? I'm assuming that's what you meant. So, yes, I have. In fact, I have had people who have never swum across a swimming pool before ever do it for their first time in front of me. And 6 to 8 months later, they were at Bud's. You know, a year and a half later, they were finished Bud's, and now they're active SEALs. So, yes, I've had that. And that is a rewarding moment to see somebody excited because they just swam across a pool, but then it realized, wow, I got to do that 19 more times just to pass this fitness test. And then see them get to work on technique and conditioning and daily swim workouts. It's inspiring to see that occur because it's not an easy journey if the first time you ever swim across a swimming pool is 23 years old and you're a jacked D1 football player, but you go on to become a Navy SEAL in the following year. That's impressive. I'd like to say it's just because I'm that good of a coach, and I am a good coach. That's what I do best. But his hard work on his own was 10 times more important than me telling him how to pull, breathe, kick, and glide. He got it done himself. And that's what this takes, a lot of self-discipline and consistency. Sir, I am for your permission to make 2 memes about you. I have some ideas which you will enjoy and make you laugh. Yeah, I have no problem with people making memes of me, whether they're making fun of me or making a really cool meme. In fact, I actually had my kids for my Father's Day present make a meme for me, make a dad meme. I didn't share them with anybody, but I thought it was really funny. So my daughter, who did a really funny one, was, I don't know if you've seen that National Geographic Fight Science show I did. I did it like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago now, where I was in an ice bucket and then I had to run an obstacle course and shoot and, you know, shot the bad guy. Anyway, she made one with the, you know, the drop down sunglasses, right? And it says something like, I make ice hypothermic. So it was pretty funny. But yeah, I don't mind that, Alex. Send them to me. I like to see those. My family gets a kick out of those. I'm a candidate currently strength trained. If a candidate currently strength trained scores well on the PST and the human performance test scores and was capable of high mileage run weeks, what would you say would be the maximum required for SOF? Well, if you're good at all those, you're good to go. I mean, as long as you can swim well and tread well and you're comfortable in the water doing the drown proofing drills. In fact, try this workout. Don't tie yourself up. This is a great drill. When you think you got it all figured out and you're in really killer shape, let's see how your pool skills are. And you do this. I just put it in the comment section there. It's called workouts and techniques that help you with drown proofing safely. It's basically the Navy SEAL drown proofing test mixed with a 100-yard swim in between. And you can't touch the edges. You got to rest with treading or bobbing or floating in between each event. And that's a really good one. So I would say if you're good at all of those, you're in the zone already. But I'm not sure what you're asking, what the maximums required for SOF. I just put those in that article because those cover the PST, HPT, you know, all of those. So just read that article, the assessment article that I just posted up there. If you read that, physical assessment tools to get to and through selection. Yeah, read that article that I posted the link to in this comment section and you'll see it. Now you give me an example. The Buds cadre often advise 40 miles per week. Yeah, that's fine. Should be the minimum for years. Motivators on the West Coast urge 60 miles per week, provided you strength train. Is that ideal? I will tell you this. I've seen guys run 50, 60 miles per week, and they did it wrong, right? And what I mean by that is, sure, they were hitting 10-mile runs every day, but all they did was get used to running slow. They never focused on 7-minute mile pace for their 4-mile swim or 4-mile run, which is, you know, a 28-minute 4-mile timed run, which is where you want to be every week on the 4-mile timed runs. They got really good at 8-9-minute pace and or 9- and 10-minute pace, and they couldn't pass a 4-mile timed run at 32-minute minimum standard in first phase. So it really depends. I have also seen people make it through with 25 miles a week and were strong guys and made it through with that minimum mileage, but every one of their miles meant something. They were running 6-minute miles for their mile and a half, and they were running 7-minute miles for their 4-mile timed run. So they got a 9-minute mile and a half on their PST. They got a 28-minute on their 4-mile timed run, never failed a 4-mile timed run, never gooned from a run, and 25 miles was all they ever did. Now, they did other cardio with swimming. They added in biking. So there's ways to work your aerobic base without junk miles of just running slow and winding up hurting yourself. Where it really depends on the athlete. You know, the running athlete doesn't really need to run that much to prepare for Buds. Your history has prepared you for Buds, as long as you're running fast. The strength athlete needs to run more than he needs to lift. In fact, I would say don't even lift. Just work on your calisthenics and cardio. But there's a certain limit that the strength athlete should be aware of because they're a non-running athlete other than 100-meter runs on a football field. They may not be durable enough to handle 60 miles a week during this prep training, or build up to that without getting injured along the way. So my advice is train hard, but as soon as you're starting to feel the aches and pains of, you know, knee tendonitis, hip pain, foot pain, you know, any of those things that can stop you from training, you need to listen to it and go with some non-impact cardio that day and let yourself heal before it gets so bad that now you can't run at all for a month because you got plantar fasciitis, shin splints, stress fractures, knee tendonitis, IT band, hip pain, you name it. I've seen it all with non-running athletes. So the answer to your question is not as simple as me saying, run 25 miles a week, run 40 miles a week, run 60 miles a week. It's much more complicated than that because we're not all the same. To give one answer, I think, is not being thoughtful enough in the process to understand or care that everybody's different with different backgrounds and not everybody needs to focus on running as much as another person does. That person may need to focus more on lifting or swimming or water comfort. So there's so many different variables to that. And at the end of this conversation, Joe, you need to be good at everything. Not great at one thing and weak at something else. You need to be good at everything. That doesn't mean world class in anything. Now, your athletic history may make you great in something. I was pretty good at strength. I never felt like I was getting crushed under a boat and a log. And I didn't lift for almost 18 months prior to Butts. But I had spent a decade lifting weights and playing football. I was pretty durable. I had to run more and do more high rep calisthenics and work on my endurance and work on my muscle stamina. Those were my Achilles heel that I was able to transform enough into a better spec ops candidate. And I was still never the fastest runner, but I got my 4 mile timed run down to 26:30. It was my fastest. I was probably in the 28-29 zone for most of my days at Buds, but I was never the fastest runner, that's for sure. And it was my gut check. You know, those runs were gut checks for me to hit those scores. Had I just jogged it, I probably would have barely passed it with a 32. But yeah, you got to find your weakness and work on it. If you're really good at running, run less. If you're really good at power and strength, lift less. Work on something else. Since everything contains carbs, what kind of foods can you eat when you want to kick a sugar addiction? Just don't eat sugar. You know, I like fruit. I eat bananas and apples and oranges and grapes regularly. I eat vegetables. They have carbs too. You know, you need complex carbohydrates. So if you want to lay off a sugar addiction, quit drinking things with cane sugar in it and eating things with sugar in it. Chocolate, cookies, cake, Twinkies, soda. That's what I would do. If you're gonna need carbs to survive. Your brain works on carbs. You know, Eat some carbs, especially if you want to try to work out. Yeah, I love the photo your group had sent you when you slept in one morning. Yeah, you know what? I deserve that one. Though I will say this. I can't remember the last time I missed a workout. It's been over a decade, maybe. And I work out 6 days a week. So missing a workout due to not hearing my alarm clocks, I must have really needed it, but they made fun of me pretty well. Put a sleepy dwarf, seven dwarves face over mine while I'm rucking. That was a really good one. That cracked me up. So you guys can find that. It's up on my Instagram page. Hey, Stu, how has SEAL training gotten so popular and the attrition rate has stayed the same? Aren't they receiving way more qualified candidates? Yes. And when you say qualified candidates, yes, they're in better shape, but they're in better shape quitters. That's really what it is. You know, everybody was talking about the attrition rate would go down, and I was one of them. I thought the attrition rate would go down once we made the standards higher. And so they came up with the, you know, the standards to get a contract. Because they used to be, as long as you met those minimum standards, you could go to Butts. And guess what? The attrition rate stayed close to the same. So I don't have an answer. It's a lot harder than pull-ups, push-ups, and sit-ups. And you got to really want it, because there's going to be an event in first phase, especially, that tests your will on how bad you want it. You're going to be cold. You're going to be sitting in dark water. You're going to have sand all over you. And the day has turned to night, and there appears to be no end in sight to this day. And it's not even Hell Week, and you're wondering, damn, when's this day ending? You know, I've been out here for 17 hours. I'm not sure this is going to end anytime soon. And that gets in your head, and next thing you know, you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? And you better have a really good answer for why you are doing this. Otherwise, it goes downhill really quickly. All right, let's see. Hey, Stu, all of the TST scores are competitive except for push-ups at 65. My body weight bench is 4 to 5 reps as well, 170. Should I focus on endurance for the push-ups or maybe a bit of strength? You know what? That's a good question. You definitely need both, because your endurance is not good for push-ups, but I personally think everybody's body weight bench press should be double digits, 10 plus. You know, we have guys hitting 20, even 30 of their body weight bench. So they have turned a strength exercise into an endurance exercise, and that's really what you need to do. So it appears you have a little bit of weakness in strength as well as muscle stamina. So you be honest with you could go either way. You could do either option. In fact, something I like to do when I see someone who's struggling in both is to do a body weight bench max rep set. So let's say you crank out 170 for 5 reps and you're toast. Somebody had to help you on that fifth one. You drop off the bench and do as many push-ups as you can with no rest and see what you can do. You might get 5 or 6, but push yourself. See if you can get 7 or 8, right? And you're going to feel what that simulates is that's going to simulate those last 20 or 30 seconds of a 2-minute fitness test of push-ups. Because if you go all the way, you're going to start just shaking and a complete central nervous failure. I don't recommend going to that point, because once you start shaking to that level, you're not going to get a rep anyway. And you're really just dumping a lot of glycogen and wasting a lot of energy. But see if you got some reps left in you right after that, and then go do cardio for like 4 or 5 minutes, something easy, maybe some pull-ups, you know, work a different muscle group, and then come back around and do that again for 3 or 4 more rounds. And I have seen that take push-ups and bodyweight bench press to the next level. So give that a shot. A lot of my workouts have that in there already. Like whenever we do a lift day, see if I can find one. So a lot of this is calisthenics phase. So, oh man. Yeah. Bench press, push-ups. There you go. I got one right there. So yeah, bench press. You do bench press 5 to 10, whatever you can do, max push-ups right afterwards. And I just happen to have it in this one, resting with a PT reset where you do reverse push-ups, birds, arm haulers. But you can rest however you want. But that's a good little 1-2 combo that simulates the back half of that push-up test, which I promise you will push you on that max rep set as well as help improve your body weight bench. Saw ads on Instagram asking people from my country, not the U.S., to join the U.S. Army. Do you know of any such recruitment going on, or is it a scam? I've seen many scams on Instagram lately. Well, I wouldn't necessarily trust the social media platform. I would go to the official Army website, but foreigners can join the U.S. military in a way it's always been. Now, as long as you have a green card, you can join the U.S. military, any branch. However, you cannot get a security clearance if you're a foreigner. But if you're putting in the paperwork and you become a U.S. citizen in that process, you can get security clearance, which will allow you to go officer or special ops. So you can enlist to join the regular military, but you can't go special ops unless you're a citizen. You can enlist and go regular military, but you cannot become an officer in the military until you're a citizen. That is the rule. In fact, I wrote an article on it. Let's see. Foreigner, U.S. military, Stu Smith. Joining the U.S. military or special ops from foreign country. Look at that. I'm telling you, I write a lot of articles. It is not uncommon for me to have an answer for everybody's question in article format. Very rarely do I have something that I have not written about. And when I do, I'll write about it. It gives me something to write about. So anyway, I just posted a little article in there for you, Sebastian, on joining U.S. military from a foreign country. Read that. It has everything to do with from the State Department and getting your green card and citizenship all the way to the military process as well. But it is a thing. It is not something we just created because we need people in the military. It has been like that forever. But the fact that they're advertising it shows you something, that we need people to be recruits. And a lot of that is our own fault because we've just made the medical screening process five times harder with the current system that they have that tracks every medical, pharmaceutical medicine you've been prescribed in your history. So even though you might not tell somebody that you've had asthma or ADHD, somewhere in their medical history search, they can find that you've been prescribed Ritalin or whatever they prescribe for ADHD medicine. What is that? Albuterol or something? I don't know. So, if they find that in your record, it's an issue. And you got to come clean with it, or chances are, because you didn't acknowledge it, they don't want you anyway. So it's a mess. So it's hard to get in, and it's pretty much our own fault. It used to be people could kind of get away with that one. But I was talking to a recruiter, and they said that over half of the people that they want to serve or want to serve that come into their office, they didn't go actively find them, can't pass the medical screening. Just finished police academy, working 12-hour shifts, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. What kind of training would you suggest? I like powerlifting, but it doesn't seem feasible for the job. There's nothing wrong with getting jacked and being a police officer. Though you need to maintain your cardio as well. My advice would be to lift before you go to work, especially for the night shift type program. So get your workouts done between 5 and 7, right? Get your food in there as well. And then that will, at least you got it done now, and you can go crush that workout. That'll keep you up, probably keep you alert till midnight, just because you've stimulated your body for you know, with that workout. I've always found that if I work out late at night, it's really hard for me to go to sleep afterwards. Maybe you'll have that same problem. In fact, we used to do that when we did a lot of night op training. We would work out before the ops, training ops, and then, you know, that was just the way it worked. And it just kept you up later. Didn't have a problem with, you know, needing caffeine until like 3 a.m. or something like that. And then, you know, when you're done with your shift at 7, you can actually eat and go to sleep. That would be ideal. So, if you're a big guy, I see that you're also a big guy. You don't want to get bigger, then I'd probably just hang with the calisthenics and cardio for a while. But you definitely want to work out. If you stop working out, you're going to be big as a house. So don't stop working out. Whether it's 30, 45, 60 minutes before your shift, get something done because you're going to need to burn those calories. I boxed for about 7 years. Haven't stepped foot in the gym in about 4 years. I want to lose 80 pounds. What's a realistic timeline I should set for myself? You know what? You know, being that you have a pretty tough history, probably won't take you the typical time it takes most people. Most people, it takes about a year to lose 80 pounds. I've seen people do it in 8 to 10 months. In fact, we had a guy who's an Army Ranger right now, lost over 80 pounds in a year and 6 months. He lost it in 6 months, but he was a powerlifting football player, D1 level lineman at like 290. And he got down to 200 pounds in about 6 months. But if you know that business, you have to eat like a horse in order to maintain that level. He just started eating like a normal person. Next thing you know, added into the calisthenics and cardio workouts, he really started burning more calories, and he just lost that weight really quickly. So there you go. It's going to be a combination of you eating less and working out more, but I probably wouldn't jump right into a boxing workout after 4 years like you used to. I probably would, you know, go gentle into it. Otherwise, you're going to screw yourself up for, you know, with an injury, probably a shoulder injury that will affect a lot of your workouts if you try to jump right into boxing like you used to. Let's see. I want to express my gratitude to everything you do. You might have an article on it, but any recommendations, experiences in getting into 3-letter government agency positions? Well, I mean, most of those have websites that will tell you what fitness test you need to take. For instance, FBI is a 3-letter agency, and that fitness test is pretty common. The CIA, they will make you take the Army physical fitness test, the old school one, which is push-ups, sit-ups, and a mile and a half. Oh, no, 2-mile run. Push-ups, sit-ups, 2-mile run. I mean, at first, those are going to be the only objective grading criteria that they will do with you for fitness. Later, when you're going through the training, you're going to need to be able to do a lot of other stuff besides push-ups, sit-ups, and run. You know, there'll be obstacle courses, so pull-ups and grip and more endurance and combatives. You know, all of those things require a level of conditioning. So my advice for you, if you're thinking 3-letter agencies, is mix in your calisthenics and cardio that you know you're going to have to be taking, but also do something hard like obstacle course races and martial arts, you know, but try not to get hurt with the martial arts. Maybe do some wrestling or jiu-jitsu with someone who knows how to do it that doesn't hurt you with a joint lock. And next thing you know, you can't walk for a month because you dislocated your knee. So that's what I would do. I would mix it all together because you're going to be doing a lot of combative training along with calisthenics, cardio, obstacle courses, things like that. And then you may even get into some lift training as well during the pipeline of your training. So have some experience in lifting. But yeah, that's where I would start off. Wow, that was quick. An hour already. So I'll be back tomorrow. If you guys have any videos you want to send me to critique, I have some that I will be posting up here as well. You can go to my Instagram and TikTok and YouTube channel where I post a lot of videos on swimming, critiquing those combat swimmer strokes. Tomorrow we'll do a combat swimmer stroke critique show along with the standard question and answer session that we do here. So I appreciate your time. If you guys stuck around this long, thank you. You guys can go over to stewsmithfitness.com. There is a save 15% using the live 15 coupon. Just for sticking around today, guys, feel free to go over there. Live 15, save 15% on books and ebooks. And if you got questions, send them stew@stewsmith.com. All right, folks, I'll see you later. You guys have a good one.